You are listening to the Passion City Church podcast. To learn more about Passion City Church, including our gathering times in Atlanta and Washington, D.C., visit us online at PassionCityChurch.com. Today's talk is a powerful Easter message given by Pastor Louis Giglio.
Question for us today. If there was a God in the universe, and that God wanted to send you a message about himself, would you know how to listen to it? And could you understand it? If there was a God in the universe, and that God wanted to send you a message about himself, would you know how to listen to it? And could you understand it? I've been thinking about that question ever since a few weeks ago when I realized that there is a gold record flying through outer space. A gold record, a real gold record is flying right now through outer space. Apparently that didn't hit you quite like it hit me when I figured that out. Do you know what a gold record is, by the way? Anybody know what a gold record is in record terms? Like, no? Have you ever heard of a gold record-selling artist or a platinum-selling artist? Well, here's what that means. You sell 500,000 of your records, you get awarded a gold record, and they give you a fake gold record with the artwork of your record and a plaque, and you put it in your studio or on your wall in your house. If you sell 1 million albums, you're a platinum-selling artist, and you get a platinum-looking record that looks really cool with your art around it in a frame. I guess you have to be kind of in the music world to love gold records and platinum records, but if you're a multi-platinum-selling artist, you're doing pretty good. We're not talking about that kind of gold record. We're talking about a real, live, gold record is flying 40,000 miles an hour through outer space right now. You're like, what are you talking about? In 1977, we launched a spacecraft called Voyager. If you've been around Passion City Church this year, you already know Voyager, right? You're excited. In fact, I can see it on all your faces. All your dreams have come true. I'm telling you, the last few months, I've gotten so many texts, emails, phone calls. I had notes left under the windshield of my car at the grocery store. I've gotten telegrams from people. I've gotten messages delivered by hand. People have come to my front door. You would not believe the number of people who have inundated me with a request to include something about space in my Easter message. It has been absolutely insane for the last few weeks in my world. And finally, I just said, okay, I hear the people. I know what the people are asking for, and I'm going to give the people what they want. So just a little bit of space on Easter. In 1977, we launched a spacecraft called Voyager. Its mission was to go out to our near neighbor planets, to slingshot from our planets, to go to Jupiter, then to Saturn, Neptune, Uranus, and to slingshot off of each one with greater velocity and to leave our solar system and to enter into interstellar space. And Voyager did an amazing job of that. We mentioned a few weeks ago that as it got to the edge of our galaxy, the folks at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory asked Voyager to turn around right as it was near Pluto and take one last photograph of the entire solar system. And it sent back this photograph that became the most famous photograph probably in the history of astronomy. We talked about it earlier if you weren't around at the beginning of the year. It's called the Pale Blue Dot. You're looking like, that doesn't look like too special a photo to me. Well, the bands of light are sunlight reflecting off Voyager, even though it's at the edge of our solar system. But what amazed astronomy was that little dot in the band. If you haven't seen it before, we'll just put a little circle around it so you can see what we're looking at. Voyager captured a photo of Earth from almost 4 billion miles away. And Carl Sagan, who was the most famed astronomer in the world at that time, he named this photo the Pale Blue Dot. And he said, look at that. That's here. That's us. That's home. And then he went on to say, everyone who's ever lived out their existence in the history of humanity has lived on that tiny mote of dust suspended in a sunbeam. We talked about how that image shrinks us and all of a sudden it puts us in perspective in the grand cosmos in which we live. But after Voyager sent this photo back to Earth, it continued on its mission, and year after year after year, it traveled out into the outer edges of our solar system. But when Voyager was ready to be launched in 1977, the team around Voyager wanted to put on it a time capsule, if you will, in the event that in the future, some other intelligent life were to encounter Voyager somewhere out in the universe, that they could detect who we were and what our civilization was like. If this had happened before on the Pioneer expeditions, other spacecraft that had been launched a few years earlier, they put a little plaque on the side of Pioneer. Right on the spacecraft, about this big, had a depiction of a male and a female and some basic descriptions about how things work on Earth. And they put that on there in the event that somebody would find it. They would know that there were people somewhere in the universe. But when they were ready to launch Voyager in 1977, they said, let's up the ante on the time capsule. And they decided to make a record and to put on that record a depiction of life on planet Earth. And the record's called the Voyager Interstellar Record, but most people call it the Golden Record because it really is made out of gold. And that record has a title. It's called The Sounds of Earth. This committee, in 6 months' time, decided, what should we put on it? What would you put on it? If you were going to send a record on a spacecraft that potentially was going to travel into interstellar space, that might in the future tell some intelligent life about our lives on Earth, what would you put on the record? Well, what's on this record, the committee decided, was a message from the head of the United Nations. So there's a little greeting to the world. There were also some songs put on the record. 27 tracks are on the record. Think about trying to narrow down all the music on planet Earth to put it on a record and send it out into the universe. What would you put? What would be the top song you would put on the record if you were sending a record out into the universe? Well, the three B's made it on. There was a lot of indigenous music from cultures around the world because they didn't want the universe out there to think that we all lived in the Western civilization. So there's music from every culture. But from Western culture, the three B's made it on the record. I know some of you are thinking, Justin Bieber, I knew it the whole time. No, Justin Bieber wasn't around in 1977 to make it onto the record yet. The three B's that made it on the record were Bach, Beethoven, and Chuck Berry. Little curveball, I know. I wasn't on the committee. On a record that is traveling right now 40,000 miles an hour in space is Johnny B. Goode. Anybody old enough to remember the Saturday Night Live skit, Weekend Update, Steve Martin? We got a message. They found Voyager out in the vast cosmos, and we got a message back from the aliens that found it. Message was, send more Chuck Berry. It has greetings on it in 55 languages. You can download this record, by the way, on iTunes or stream it on Apple Music. And I won't play all 55 greetings. They're all very, very short. But I'll play the last few of them so you can hear what you would hear if somewhere out in outer space you got a hold of this record and you played it. This will be the last bit of the greetings from planet Earth.
üdvözletet küldünk magyar nyelven minden békét szerető lénynek a világegyetemen.
Namaste. Telugu matladé janamul nunchi ma subhakankshala.
Milí přátelé, přejeme vám vše nejlepší.
Namaste. Kannadigara paravagi subhashayagalu.
Sab logo ne maro ram ram pahunche. Hame athe raji khushi ha. Tuma uthe raji khushi reh jao.
Hello from the children of planet Earth.
That always gets a little aww. That's Carl Sagan's son. The greeting in English is from a child. Hello from the children of planet Earth. Some of the UN dignitaries who worked in space area, had little messages on there. Some whale songs made it on, Sounds of Earth made it on, sounds of two people kissing, sounds of rainfall, wind, other sounds from our planet. 100 photographs were translated onto the analog record in analog form, some diagrams and depictions, and a letter from President Jimmy Carter. And the letter from Jimmy Carter says at the end, it says, "This is a present from a small, distant world, a token of our sounds, our science, our images, our music, our thoughts, and our feelings. We are attempting to survive our time so we may live into yours. We hope someday, having solved the problems we face, to join a community of galactic civilizations. This record represents our hope in our determination, in our goodwill, in a vast and awesome universe." In 2012, a ceremony was held in the Rose Garden at the White House, and President Obama announced to the world that NASA scientists had just verified that Voyager had left the heliosphere, the teardropped circumference of our solar system, and had passed through the heliosphere into what is interstellar space. And flying now out into the darkness, outside of our solar system, is a spacecraft about the size of a Volkswagen Beetle with a gold record representing and depicting life on Earth right on the front of it. Here are the technicians mounting the record on Voyager, right on the front. And here is a representation of what Voyager looks like as it's traveling through space. Imagine that, size of a small car, all this scientific equipment, and then right in the middle of that, an actual record. Are you kidding me? It's flying through space. You're like, well, how is it going to survive? Well, it's surviving because it has an aluminum cover over it that's made and treated in a very special way so that it can't be affected by cosmic dust or other particles it might encounter out in the universe. This record's made of copper, plated in pure gold, and designed to last 1 billion years. You say, well, if the people found it, how will they know what to do with it? Oh, look, we're people from another planet in another galaxy, and we've been living in some other high-end world for the last millennia, and look, oh, it's a record. Anybody got a record player? How would they know what to do with it? Well, on the cover, the aluminum cover, are instructions. Hello? You see the cover? Check this out. There are instructions on there. You're like, I don't know what I would do if I saw that. I know, but you're not a high intelligent life form out in another galaxy. They would figure this out because smart people help them do that. I'm not that smart, so I had to read up on it. I have a little facsimile of it right here. That the circle up here to the top left, it looks like a dial on a watch, is actually a diagram that shows our friends in the universe that the record spins around, and it actually tells them what speed it needs to play. Those little dots are binary code. The binary code matches up to the atom, which are the two circles down on the bottom, and the phase of that atom is devolving in a certain frame of time. And you would understand that if you were really smarter than me, and you would know what that time frame was, and then you would use that same time measurement in the binary code to understand how fast the record needed to spin. There's a stylus attached to the record on the spacecraft right now so that you could play the record. You didn't have to have your own stylus. You could take the one from the spacecraft, put it on. Are you kidding me? We put a record and a stylus on a spacecraft. Shows you how the stylus goes on the record. See the second thing down? It shows you which way the record plays, so you're not trying to play it backwards. You're playing it frontwards. The little cool little starburst thing are 8 known pulsars in the universe. And the distance is measured, again, in binary distance from planet Earth in the center. So anyone out in the universe that would know these pulsars and their relative space could triangulate where this spacecraft, where this record came from. And all the information on the right-hand side explains that not only are you hearing music now, and not only are you hearing Beethoven, Bach, and Chuck Berry, and whale sounds, and greetings from kids on planet Earth, but there are also images on here, and that's what's being explained by all the waveforms here. And then it explains how to extract that, how to translate it, how many lines would be in a photo. And the very first photo of the 100 photos is actually a circle inside a box. So you would know if you were somewhere out in the universe and you were trying to dial in the extraction of the photos in an analog form on a record that you found on a spaceship traveling out nearby where you lived in the galaxies beyond, you would know we got it right because there's a picture and there's a picture on the cover and the picture on the cover with the circle and the square matches that one. We got it right. And then you could see all the other pictures of cities and civilizations and continents and people and human anatomy and all the things that we wanted them to know. We sent on the chance that there is intelligent life somewhere else in the cosmos, a golden record depicting life on planet Earth. And when I got my head around that, it did truly blow up my heart. Because I realize while we are trying to contact the cosmos, the God of the cosmos is trying to contact you. The God of creation is trying to reach you. And as crazy as it is that we sent a gold record into outer space, it pales in comparison to the fact that the God of all creation has sent a message from heaven directly to you. God's trying to reach you, and he's got a message for you. And you know what it is? I love you. And I've done something amazing for you. Probably the key text of all text around the story of Jesus is found in John's Gospel, chapter 3. Jesus is talking, and his words have been repeated century after century, and church after church, and culture after culture. And John 3:16 has become ubiquitous with Christian faith. In fact, you'll see a guy with a rainbow-colored wig. I guess it's a wig. It's a pretty amazing hair color if it's not. At the Super Bowl with a sign right in camera view. Have you ever seen that guy or that lady holding up John 3:16? I mean, you can even go to the Masters. You can't get in there with a cell phone. But all of a sudden, Phil Mickelson's trying to make a putt. And dude pulls out a little poster, you know, John 3:16 right in view. It's this text. And it really is the heart of the message that God is trying to get through to you. I love you, and I've done something amazing for you. You're like, I don't know if that's what I was thinking God was going to get through to me with when he got a message all the way to me from heaven to earth. I was going to think he was going to say, I'm fed up with you, I'm done with you, I'm finished with you, I'm so frustrated with you. I'm over you. I don't even know who you are. You're irrelevant to me, obscure in my world. No, the message that God's trying to reach you with, spanning that distance all the way from heaven down to where you are right now in your seat, is I love you. I want you to know there is a God in the universe. He is trying to reach you with a message about himself today. And the message is, I want you to know I love you. And I want you to know that I've done something amazing for you. And it's all captured in these words of Jesus. He says, for God, he did what? He so, what? Loved the world. God loved the world. His heart broke for the world. He wanted to connect to the world. He's trying to contact humanity. He's trying to get through. He's trying to get a message through to you. He's trying to get on your radar. He's trying to reach you because God so loved the world. And then here comes part two, that he did something amazing for you, that he gave his one and only son, Jesus, The one who's speaking these words, standing on this planet that we are on, that whoever believes in him, the him is Jesus, shall not perish, but have eternal life. And then verse 17, just as important a verse, I want sometimes for the guy to flip the poster around and say, hey, John 3:16. And by the way, while you're reading, read John 3:17. And by the way, while you're there, just read the rest of it, because it's all pretty amazing. Verse 17, for God did not, what? Do you see it? For God did not send. Yeah, we sent a golden record on a Voyager, and God sent a different Voyager. A Voyager named Jesus. He sent his son. Launched him out of heaven on a mission to planet Earth. He wasn't hoping one day somebody might see his messenger. He knew he was sending his messenger to you. And so he tailor-made it all so that you could hear and see and understand the message. And what is the message? That he's done something amazing for you. And what is it? You see it again right here. God did not send his son into the world. Somebody please amen here to condemn the world. You see how the enemy just flipped that for so many people on planet Earth? If God did send me a message, if God did want to get in touch with me, if God did want to get in contact with me, I already know how that would go. It would just be one big hellfire, damnation, brimstone, and condemnation if God tried to get a message to me. He said, no, no, no. I didn't send my Voyager into the world to condemn you. That's not the mission, and that's not the message. But I sent him to save the world through him. God's got a message for you today. I don't know who you are. I don't know how you got here. I don't know how it is that you're sitting in one of these seats right now, but God's got a message for you. I love you, and I've done something amazing for you. If you thought this was religion today, you missed Easter. Religion says, I'm going to try to love God and prove my love for God by doing something amazing for God. And if I can do something amazing for God, maybe God will love me. And God said, I got a new message for you, because I'm the one who's sending the Voyager named Jesus to planet Earth. Here's the message. I loved you before you knew me. I loved you before you even knew you needed me. And I've already done something amazing for you. Voyager's got a cover that explains how it all works, how you can hear the sounds of Earth. And I think we also have a cover on the record of God coming called The Sounds of Heaven, so that all of us living on the planet can know that this isn't all there is, that there is something more to living and dying on planet Earth. There is a heavenly sound and a heavenly kingdom and a heavenly economy and a heavenly home. And how do you hear The Sounds of Heaven? Well, there's a cover, I think, on that album also, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is the way you see and know who God is. The scripture says he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn among all creation. In another place, scripture says that he's the exact representation, Jesus is, of God's likeness. Jesus said about himself, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. In other words, the way you hear the sounds of heaven is through the person of Jesus Christ. So we made a passion cover that's going to go on our Sounds of Heaven record. You want to see it? I think it's amazing. Looks like this. I'll just give you a minute with it. Kids, see what you can make of it. You recognize anything up there? I like that lady over there. Honey, get a picture of it. I would if I were you. What does it say? What is God trying to say? I'll help you. He's trying to let you know who he is. And he said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. Oh, I'm not just today's God. I'm not just the right now God. I am the God who has been God since before there was time. And I'm the God who's going to be God after there's time. You're not dealing with somebody suspended in time and space like you. You're dealing with somebody who created time and space. I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. I am the Almighty, Eternal, never-ending God. I'm the same yesterday and today and forever. I am sure and dependable. You can count on me. Everything's going to change, but I am never going to change because I am Almighty, Everlasting God. I am the Alpha and Omega God. I got a message for you, but that message is coming from the God of the ages. And the message, I created you. You are God's design. You are not accidental nor incidental. You are not simply the product of the union between a man and a woman, a conception in a womb. You are God's handiwork, and there has never been anyone made exactly like you. But the greatest thing about you is that God made you with a heart to know and to love Him. But there's a problem. And the problem is that we all determined to do it our way. We turned our back on God. We turned our back on God's ways. We thought we would figure it out on our own. That's called, in God's economy, sin. It's just human pride. It's our own disobedience. It's our own foolishness. And that sin caused our hearts to die. Oh, we're still beaten physically. But what sin does is it makes you dead spiritually. Sin doesn't just make you bad. Sin makes you spiritually dead, and it separates you from that relationship that you were intended to have with God. So God says, I am the Alpha Omega. I created you special and new. But inside of you right now, without me, is a longing and a searching for something. That's why the whole world right now is looking for something. Have you ever noticed that everybody's looking for something? It's like, maybe I'm going to find it in the next job, maybe in the next city, maybe in the next husband, maybe in the next relationship, maybe in the next pleasure, the next weekend, the next night out with my friends, maybe the next accomplishment or the next bonus or the next stack of money or the next whatever. I'm going to find whatever it is that I'm looking for. But I'm telling you, in humanity, there's something that cannot be filled with anything on this earth, because what is longing inside of us is longing for the God who created us. And God knows there's an emptiness in the human heart that only He can fill. And He did the unthinkable for you. That same Alpha and Omega God took on human skin, born in a manger in Bethlehem. God Almighty in human form. Think of it. When He was born, they said He was a king. A new kingdom had come. And in that new kingdom, there was new authority. So as Jesus moved on planet Earth, He displayed that He had power. He had power to heal the sick. He had power to raise the dead. Yes, He could walk on water. Yes, He could feed 5,000. Yes, He could turn water into wine. But more than that, He had the power to forgive sins. He hung out with the rich and the up and out, but He also gravitated to the poor and the down and out. He put His arms around the destitute and the prostitute. He came to those who had no chance and gave them dignity. He taught words of truth and demonstrated that He had God-given power and authority to change things in heaven and on earth. It is Almighty God, Alpha and Omega, in human skin, announcing a new kingdom and a new king. But there's never been a king like this king, because this king wore His crown on a cross. The great exchange of God giving His one and only Son so that whoever believed in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. And when Jesus hung there on Good Friday, he had a crown of thorns on his brow. They put a sign above him, King of the Jews. And they tried to mock him, but the whole time he was mending you and mending me. And on that Good Friday, Jesus died. He died because that's the penalty and payment for sin. They put him in a tomb Friday night, Saturday, dead. The scripture says he's down in the depths of the earth. He's suffering all of what we should suffer. He's experiencing the humiliation and the bondage of life after life apart from God. But we're here today because the story didn't end on Friday, and the story certainly didn't end on Saturday. We're here today because on the third day, Jesus Christ, just like he had predicted he would do, was raised from death to life by the power of Almighty God. The grave could not hold down the King of Kings. Oh, come on, church. The grave could not hold down Jesus, the King of all kings. And we celebrate today an empty tomb. And we celebrate today that death does not have a hold on him. Nor does it have a hold on any person who has put their faith and their trust in him. But that's not the end of the story. You're like, no, that is the end of the story, bro. You can't top that. No, you can top that. Because Jesus ascended back into heaven. That was a downer for the people who'd just seen him come back to life again. They're like, no, please don't leave. We like you being back here again. He said, no, I'm going to ascend back to my throne. But what I'm going to do is send you a spirit to indwell you with supernatural power so that you can become the people God has called you to become and do the things God has called you to do so that you can live with divine assistance every day on planet Earth and live with Holy Spirit power in your life to live out the mission, the will, the purpose, and the plan of Almighty God. But that's not all. He said, now I'm going to give you a promise. And here's the promise. I am the Alpha Omega. I'm going back to be seated on a throne, but I'm returning, people. I'm coming back. I'm coming back to this earth. I'm coming back for my church, coming back for my bride, coming back for my people. And when I come back down, I'm going to take you who believe up with me, and you are going to be with me in paradise forevermore. Whoever believes in me will not perish, but will have everlasting, never-ending, always abundant life. Our future in Jesus Christ is that we are going to be with the Alpha and the Omega in the kingdom without end forever and ever. No tear, no death, no sorrow, no pain. This is our hope, and this is our story, and this is the way you access the sounds of heaven. It's through the person of Jesus Christ. It's called the gospel story of Jesus, and he is trying to reach you today to tell you that he loves you and to tell you that he's done something amazing for you. I wonder if you can hear him. Voyager still sending back radio signals to Earth. Crazy. From interstellar space. The signal is so faint now. They say it's a millionth of a billionth of a watt. And we have to use the biggest antenna on Earth, combined and aligned in an array, to pull that signal in and receive that message from Voyager. And I wonder what might be in your way today of hearing that message from the God of the universe. Like, oh, I didn't get the text. I had my phone on silent. My phone's been blowing up lately. I can't keep up with all the information. There's so much stuff coming into my world. I don't know really how to hear what's really important, what's not important. Or maybe for you, there's been pain in the story. sorrow, suffering, or loss. And at some point along the junction, you said, if God's got a message for me, I don't care about that message because there's been hurt, there's been pain, there's been loss, there's been death, and I don't want any more messages from God. But you didn't know that God was trying to reach you with a different message, and it was, I love you. And I've done something amazing for you. And he's desperate to get through to you. You know, I saw this so powerfully back in the fall, thinking about coaching in particular. You know what a coach does is a coach tries to get through to his players. You hear that all the time. You got to build rapport. You got to stay up with the times. You got to understand how to take your world and translate it into their world. And you're still where you were, but the kids change every single year. And how do you relay your message? Because as a coach, you got experience. You got know-how. You know your personnel, their personnel. You know the plans. You know the plays. You've watched the film. You know what to do. Well, I was standing on the sideline a few months ago at the Auburn versus Alabama game. I don't know if that's for the national championship or the fact that we won the Iron Bowl, but God bless us for winning the Iron Bowl. And congratulations to anybody who won a national championship. I was this far away from the sideline at the Auburn-Alabama game. Anybody ever coached before? Little league, softball, soccer, table tennis? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You are just trying to get through. Some of you don't have ever coached, but you've been there in another situation. You're talking to somebody, you're like, you're not understanding me. You're not following me. You're not hearing me. Let me get a piece of paper and draw a diagram for you. I'm trying to get across to you. This coach was desperately trying to get across to these guys. The game's going down. Gets to a critical moment. The coach, by the way, he's got a laminated thing on here that he can whip out. That's got a bunch of plays on it, multicolors. He's got all these different color Sharpies stuck in his back pocket. He calls a timeout. He confers really quickly with another coach. They decide what they want to do. Players come over, and this coach just starts giving it every ounce of what he's got. He's coming out of his skin. He's trying to tell him, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to run. This is what I need you to do. This is what I need you to do. This is what you're going to do, and this is how this is going to work. And he is pouring everything he's got out, and I am right here. I can sort of hear what's happening, and I can see their faces, and I'm like, I don't know if these 10-year-old boys are getting what you're trying to say. Oh, did I not mention I was at the Atlanta Youth League Football Championship for 10-year-olds at Chastain Park, and they named the 10-year-old teams at Chastain Park after SEC teams, and the 10-year-old Auburn team was playing the 10-year-old Alabama team for the 10-year national championship just a few months ago. And I was right on the sideline. And this coach is just giving it everything he's got. I mean, there's one kid from our church that's playing on the Auburn team, and another kid from our church, 10-year-old, is playing on the Alabama team. And God bless their family. I love them. But I was over on the Auburn side, on the right side, with the right family. And I'm looking at these kids and this coach. I mean, I'm not kidding. He's got 40 plays on this thing. And he is looking, he is pointing, he is trying to get through. He is trying to get his message across to these kids. One kid, bless his heart, looked like me when I was playing Little League football. His helmet is like 3 times larger than his head. And his helmet's kind of like over here. And he's kind of like trying to look out the ear hole, try to hear what's going on. There's another kid, no kid, with his hand down in his pants, you know, like scratching his leg. There's a kid waving at his dad. There's another kid in there, like that one kid on everything. Like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, we're going to do that. Yeah, we're going to run that. Yeah, I'm going to do that. There's all these different reactions, and this guy is just absolutely giving it everything he's got. I'm going, I don't know if you're getting through to these guys or not right now. But he's thinking, I've got the experience. I know my team and my players. I've studied their team. These guys watch film. Serious business out there at the 10-year-old Atlanta Youth League football. And I know what they've been doing the whole game, and I know what we can do. And if you can just understand what I'm trying to say right now, this is going to go great for the Auburn Tigers. And I think that's God today. He's trying to reach you. He's trying to get through to you. He doesn't hate you. He loves you. He's not looking for you to do something for him. He's trying to help you understand he's done something amazing for you. I wonder today, can you hear the message? Can your heart pull it in today? And do you know how to listen to it? Do you understand it? And if you do, do you believe it? And do you want to receive it? Because all the days you've been alive, God's trying to reach you. And maybe this is the moment. I have to believe somebody's in this gathering. And you're like, this is crazy. This is crazy. I hear it. I hear it. I hear it. I hear you, God. You're talking to me. I hear you talking to me. You are telling me that you love me. Whoa. Didn't see that coming. And what you did for me, your son for me, that if I believed in him, I would have everlasting life. And so I want to give you a chance to do that today. To believe in John 3:16 doesn't mean to say, oh, I believe in God. Everyone believes in God. You know, Jesus is a historical figure. He's not just in the New Testament. He's in the Jewish historians of the day. He's in the Roman historians of the day. A man named Jesus died on a cross outside Jerusalem. That's history. That's not a Bible story. But the scripture tells us why. The scripture gives us all the background of the songs and the sounds of heaven. So yeah, you could say, oh yeah, of course I believe in Jesus. If I believe in Jesus, I won't perish, but have everlasting life. Of course I believe in Jesus. That's not what John 3:16 means. The word believe in John 3:16, the original language, means to put your trust in. Whoever believes in Jesus, whoever believes that Jesus is who he said he is, and whoever believes that Jesus did what he said he could do, whoever puts their confidence in Jesus as Savior, who puts their trust in him as the one who brings their heart back to life again, whoever turns away from sin and says, yes, I want to be saved, whoever believes in him will never perish but have everlasting life. What that means is not heaven. It means that heart that God put inside of you to live and know and love him comes to life again by faith in Jesus Christ. And you start a relationship with the God who loves you that starts today and never, ever ends. And I wonder if there's anybody in this gathering that would say, Louis, his message is getting through to me today. God, what a day to have his message get through to you. On Easter 2018, his message got through to me. And I heard it. And I pulled it in. And I said, I do understand it. And it's crazy. Way crazier than a bunch of scientists sending a golden record into the interstellar space. It is crazy that you, Jesus, came as a voyager and a messenger and a savior for me, the planet Earth.
If you are encouraged by today's talk and believe it would be uplifting to others, then be sure to rate us and hit subscribe on Apple Podcasts. To experience other talks, videos, and live gatherings, visit us online at PassionCityChurch.com or download the Passion City Church app. And again, thanks for listening to the Passion City Church podcast.